Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles. Open again to Ephesians chapter 4. We are continuing to look at verses 11 through 16 as we talk about this church all being on the same page. We began this sermon 3 weeks ago. We're not going to finish it this morning, but we are going to finish it tonight. So I need everyone who's here this morning to make sure you're back again tonight at 6 o'clock. And then next Sunday morning, we're going to have 3 flights to Rome. One's going to leave at 8, the other's going to leave at 9:15, the other's going to leave at 10:30. And we're actually going to begin our trip to Rome as next Sunday morning we start preparing for our study of the book of Romans. Begin with verse 11. We're only going to read 11 and 12 again because tonight we're going to teach 13 through 16. So let's just read the first 2 verses again. ESV version says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you know that Hardin believes the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Would you say that with me? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, we believe at Hardin, we are primarily here to do one of 3 things. We are here to exalt Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are here to equip the saints of God. And we are here to evangelize the sinners in our community and the surrounding region until ultimately we take the gospel to the ends of the world. Amen. Now, this verse, these 2 verses, teach us 3 things. It teaches us that God has given gifts of leadership to the church, and it is the responsibility of those gifted leaders to equip the saints. Correct? So, if Brother Ricky, as the pastor teacher, is going to keep the main thing, he's got to remember that his primary purpose at Hardin is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Amen? Now, the saints do the work of ministry. It's not Brother Ricky's responsibility. It's not the staff's responsibility to do all the ministering in this church. It has actually been ordained by God that the saints who are in the church do the actual work of ministry. And then this passage teaches us that it is the work of ministry that edifies or builds up the body of Christ. Do you see this? As we get ready to embark on our study of Romans, I want us to be on the same page heading in. Someone asked me this week, "Brother Ricky, is there a problem, the reason you're preaching this sermon?" No, we don't have a problem. But here's what we do have. We have a lot of folks who've been in this church a long time, and we have a lot of folks who've just come into this church. And when churches come to this place in their history, if they're not careful, it's easy for a church to become divided. It's easy for a church to splinter and have a lot of different people believing a lot of different things and there not be a unifying factor in the body. And what we want you to know if you're going to attend Hardin is this. You got to be on the same page with us. What's the same page? We want you to believe this. We want you to believe that the pastor should keep the main thing, and that he equips the saints. We want you as a saint to keep the main thing. And the main thing you got to keep in mind is you're here to do the work of ministry. And then we want to make sure that all of our ministries keep the main thing. And what's that? Our ministries should be building up the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Now, we've took 2 sermons to talk about pastor equipping the saints. We know this means that the pastor is to get this army ready for war. The pastor is to get this ship ready to sail. But who are the saints? That's you. That's me. That's each one of us who has turned from a life of sin, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says the old things have become old. Behold, all things become new, and we are a new creature in Christ. Amen. We're not just an old sinner who's saved by God's grace. Now we are a saint of God. And that word saint means we've been set apart from self to salvation. We've been set apart from sin to now not live selfishly, but to live a life in service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Are we all on the same page at this point? Now, this morning, here's what we want to do. Let's look at verse 12 afresh and understand these two statements. Saints do the work of ministry, and it's ministry that edifies the body of Christ. You see that word work? It literally means this in the Greek language, the result of labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 teaches this. That in the body of Christ there are different gifts. In the body of Christ there are different ministries. And in the body of Christ there are different energizings. That word in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 6 is where we get our English word energy from. Now guys, I want you to see this. As we assemble here this morning as the body of Christ, you must understand this as a saint of God. If you're a saint of God who attends Harden, would you raise your hand? Just wave at me real quick. Wow. That's a lot of saints. Can I say this? That's a lot of energy. Do you realize that if we were to speak about the church in economic terms, you who are sitting in the seats of this building this morning, as a saint of God, you are the labor force of this church. And you know what the Bible says? Not only has God given you a special gift, not only has God given you a special ministry, He's actually given you a special energy. So that when we look at the church, what you bring to the church is a certain amount of energy that's been divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So the membership should never look at each other and wonder why I'm not doing as much as so-and-so's doing, or why I'm doing more than so-and-so's doing. What we should be doing in the church as a saint of God is this: am I living up to the energizing by which God energizes me for ministry? Did you catch that? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 talked about laboring more than anybody. And then he stopped and goes, well, yet it's not I, but the grace of God who dwells in me. Do you see that? The Apostle Paul believed that in the flesh he was doing more than any other apostle. But then he had to stop and go, well, it's really not me doing it. It's the grace of God working in me doing it. How are you doing as a saint? Do you feel like you are part of the labor force here at Harden? Do you feel like when this church gets ready to get things done for the glory of God, do you feel like you're one of the people who make it happen? Don't you think about that? See, that's why you're here, guys. You're here to be the hands. You're here to be the feet. You're here to be the knees. You're here to be the elbows. You're here to be the wrist. You're here to be the ankle. You're here to help us be who God wants us to be. Without you, there will be no ministry. There will be no energizing in this church. Now, it's work of ministry. The saints who attend Harden Baptist Church are the labor force of our ministry. This word ministry is an interesting word. It's the same word in the Greek that we get our English word deacon from. We got several great deacons here at Harden. And you know what those men all have in common? The one thing, David Lampkins, Steve Poole, Bobby Beal, Stephen Hutchins, I'm going to get in trouble for starting naming them all, James Mathis, Marty Arendt. You know what these guys have in common? Every one of them has dirty feet. You say, what? Yeah. See, at the root of this word ministry, from which we get our English word deacon from, is where we also get our English word servant from. In the biblical world, a servant didn't wear shoes. He went barefooted. There were two seasons in the Middle Eastern culture. You had rainy season, you had dry season. During rainy season, the servants who were running around waiting on people without shoes in rainy season, they had muddy feet, and in dry season, they had dusty feet. I affectionately call our deacon body here at Hardin the dirty-footed ones. If you'll ask every one of those guys will tell you this. They have no authority in this church. These guys have never met together one time and told Brother Ricky what he ought to be doing as pastor. Never one time has that happened. These guys are your servants. And they're just a model for the rest of us. Because in reality, each one of us here as a saint ought to be involved in the ministry of this body. So if I can play off this word deacon, here's what ministry is at Hardin. Ministry is that place where you roll up your sleeves and roll up your britches legs and you get dirty. Did you hear that? It's where you get dirty. Guys, ministries work. It doesn't just happen. You, in your individuality, and as we come together in our wholeness, make up the labor force of this church. So each one of us here at this moment should have a ministry point where we are connected to somebody, and in our connectedness with that somebody, that's where we get dirty. Do you have a place? Honestly, do you? See, some of us come to Hardin on Sunday morning and we come to worship and watch. We're gonna applaud everything Hardin does because, wow, it looks like a really good church. And I'm just going to come and enjoy the benefits. I'm going to worship God. And I'm going to observe what they do down there at Hardin because, wow, it seems to be working. And then there's another group that comes here that comes to worship. But they don't worship and watch. They worship and work while they're worshiping. Because they understand that as part of this body, ministry will not be done without them. Now, which camp are you in? You come to watch or you come to work? Now, I don't know how you are in your life, but generally in my closet, I have a set of clothes that I wear when I go watch something, and then I have a set of clothes that I put on when I go to do something. Are any of you like that? Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to get dirty, there are certain clothes I put on, and when I put those clothes on, I just expect to do something. I expect to get a little sweaty or perspire for you city folks. I don't mind getting a little dirt on my shoes or on my pants. Matter of fact, I know when I put those clothes on, I'm putting them on for the very reason that I am going to be employed in doing something. But then there's another time when I go to that other section of my closet, and if I can just be totally honest with you, when I put these clothes on, I'm not going to work a bit. I'm going to go somewhere and watch something. They're my entertaining clothes. And when I put my entertaining clothes on, I get all spiffed up. I got shoes. I got a matching belt. I got these real snazzy jeans. I got several shirts. And buddy, when I show up, don't ask me to change a flat tire. Don't ask me to fix the popcorn. Don't ask me to do the reffing. I'm going to take my chair and I'm going to be there for one purpose and one purpose only. And that's I want to be entertained. I want to watch what's going on. And it's going to be all about me being entertained for a little while. The clothes you wear to church, are they your entertainment clothes? Or are they employment clothes? Some of us really need to change the way we dress when we come to church. And we need to quit thinking about going to church and realize I am part of the church. Without me, the church is not who the church is supposed to be. Amen? I am part of the body of Christ. Why am I here? I'm here to serve. I'm here to take the gift that God's given me and find a place where I'm going to get dirty serving God. And with whatever energizing God has given me, whether that's a high energy level guy, whether that's a low energy level guy, whether that's a guy that's super efficient in what he does, or whether I'm a guy that's not as effective or efficient as somebody else, I'm going to bring my energy to the body. And I'm going to be the best body part I can be. Why? Because we're going to learn tonight, guys, that until we all get there and we all arrive, this body's never going to be the presence of Christ in this community that we can be. Do you come to church for you? Do you come to church for what you and your family's getting out of this? Or are you really coming to this body because you believe this is a body that God's using in this community, and you believe that it's through this body, along with other bodies, that He's going to accomplish His purpose, and you're here because you want this body to be who God wants us to be, and that's the presence of Christ in this community in our entirety. Now, I'm not asking you what you think in your mind. I'm asking you, what do your actions say? Boy, we've got a wrong mentality in the church. And here's the mentality. I go to church to be fed. Now, I do believe when you go to church, you ought to get fed. And I believe it's my responsibility to be the master chef. I believe I ought to spend the majority of my time in God's Word so that when you come on Sunday morning, you sit down to filet mignon most of the week. Amen? We've got enough bologna being served in churches. Amen? Hey, can I say something here? Any of you moms ever have served bologna at home? Why do you have to do that sometimes? Because by the time you take care of all the snotty noses, and the time you get the kids to ball practice, and you get home from work, and you take care of the husband, and you take care, sometimes that's all there's time for. Amen? So don't knock the man of God who's only serving bologna when you don't have time to get in the kitchen and prepare a home-cooked meal. Amen? But we don't want bologna here at Hardin. Amen? Now listen. We're always telling people to step up to the plate. Well, here's what I'm telling us. At Hardin, we need to step away from the plate. Some of us have been sitting down at the table of the Lord for so long and feeding our bellies and feeding our spirit without getting up from the table and doing anything that we've become spiritually lazy and we've become spiritually overweight. And can I just say this? When you pack enough of that weight around over enough years, you don't live up to what you ought to be doing in the body of Christ. And don't you misunderstand what I'm saying with legalism. Legalism says you do to become. Brother Ricky does not believe you should ever do a thing in the church to become something. Brother Ricky believes you do what you do because of who you are in Christ. Amen? But we're living in a culture. We're living in a nation to where we can turn on the TV and pop in the best preachers in the land. We can turn on the radio every day and listen to the best preachers in the land. We can take our little iPhones and our iPods and our cassettes. Well, we don't do cassettes anymore. CDs and DVDs. And wow, for the first time, I can go to Lifeway Bookstore and other bookstores, and I can buy books about being a Christian. And for the first time in society, there's a group of people who believe you can be a saint by yourself without a body. And that's heresy. Flat out heresy. As a matter of fact, I challenge you to look up the word the saints in the New Testament, and you won't find it in its singular form, saint. You'll always find it in its plural form, saints. Which means what? You better decide something. There is something around me bigger than me and my family. And you know who that is? That's the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? We're living in a society that does not believe that anymore. We're living in a society that looks at the body from the perspective of me and my family only, rather than looking at the body from the perspective of the body and saying, where do I fit in? Where do I find my place of ministry so that I can help this body, something bigger than me, accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish? Because guys, listen to me. If Ricky Cunningham lives up to who Ricky Cunningham is in his individuality, you know who they'll talk about in this community? They'll talk about Ricky Cunningham. But if Hardin Baptist Church lives up to its fullness, they will talk about the church. And who do you rather people be talking about, the church or Brother Ricky? You'd rather people be talking about the church or you? We want people talking about the church. Why? Because when people get their eyes on the church, it won't be long till they discover who our head is. And you know who our head is? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And saints sitting in chairs this morning have got to understand, Hardin will never be the presence of Christ in this community in our fullness without you. You are vital. You're vital. So get your entertainment clothes off and put your employment clothes on. And I want you to think about something. Boy, our politicians are in an uproar now because of our economy. I've learned some things. Things like unemployment figures. Things like interest rates. Did you know they're worried about our economy because we're a little over 5% of the labor force of the United States that's now unemployed? As long as it's under 5%, that seems to be okay, but the moment it gets over 5%, that's bad. If our nation struggles when our workforce unemployment gets over 5%, how in the world is the church making it? I don't have stats on this and I don't have figures on this, but I can just look out among this body and say way more than 5% of the people who attend Hardin Baptist Church are unemployed spiritually. Amen? I mean, how many of you show up at the table of the Lord every week to be fed, but you're absolutely unemployed when it comes to the ministers of this church? It's pretty high. That's not good. There's a tendency to believe, you know, if I go to a church that's a little bit bigger, I might can just sit behind somebody and them not know I'm there, and I really won't be needed. That is not true. Can I say this and say this truthfully? I believe there must be only one reason why God has ordained for Hardin Baptist Church to grow the way it's growing, and that's for this reason. He must have something He really wants us to do, and we need a lot of people to get it done. Does that make sense to anybody here? And interest rates, they need to be really high in the church. See, in the economy, if you want to boost the economy, you take interest rates low. But in the church, if you want to boost the ministry of the church, you raise interest rates. Can I be totally honest? If you look at your life, one of the reasons why you're unemployed in this church is because your interest rate of this church isn't very high. I'm going to give you a test. How many times this past week did you think about the ministry of Hardin Baptist Church? No interest at all. We're just wrapped up in our own little world. And we attend church because of us. That is absolutely from the pit of hell. Now, I believe you should be getting something from church. But when you get something from church called food, it is so you can be fueled spiritually to live up to your responsibility in the body of Christ, so that we in our entirety can bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now guys, listen, if you're going to drive a great distance to this church, you better check out, can you pay the cost? Got a couple sitting here, Tex and Jenny Reed, who got saved through the campground ministry, live on the other side of Mayfield. How long does it take y'all to get here? about 35 minutes. And these guys don't just come on Sunday morning. You'll find him down here during the week cleaning. You'll find him down here during the week cooking. Jerry Newsom, how long does it take you to get to Hardin? 25 minutes? You will not find these families just showing up on Sunday morning. These are families who have found their place in the body of Christ and they're serving. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? Then why don't we take him up on that? Why don't every once in a while we just say, you know, I'm going to check this principle out and see if it's really more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm going to decide for this next year, I'm going to be a giver. And not just be a receiver. And then let's do this. When the Word of God lets us down, let's close our doors and go do something else. Amen? Because this thing is either real or it's not. Amen? And don't you listen to me. Hardin Baptist Church is not a church built around a preacher or a pastor. The guy before me was here 17 years. I've been here almost 25 if you let me stay to the first Sunday of May. That means Hardin Baptist Church has only had two pastors in the past 42 years. Why? Because Hardin believes the pastoral ministry must equip the saints and the saints must do the work of ministry. Why? Because it's the work of ministry that edifies the body of Christ. Would you take your bulletin out that you got this morning? Look at the middle section. Teachers needed. Preschool children. Teachers needed for a large group. 9:15. One teacher needed for 4-year-olds at 9:15. Two teachers needed for kindergarten at 10:30. Two nursery teachers needed at 8 o'clock once a month. Needed immediately. Two teachers for younger 3-year-olds at 10:30. Two Sparks teachers for Wednesday night. Two Sunday night teachers needed for 1st through 5th grade. One teacher for 3-year-olds at 10:30. Monthly rotation. One nursery worker needed on Wednesday night. Now go over here to the other side. Information booth. We currently need someone to pass out CDs in the information booth on Sunday morning. One service once a month. That's 12 people. Go down to the bottom. Story hour meeting this afternoon. If you would be interested in helping with story hour at Hardin Baptist, please attend an informational meeting today at 5 o'clock in the foyer of this church. We need volunteers for puppets, lunch, crafts, etc. And this is just the beginning. Can I say something to you? I've always been blessed with a job, but if I ever got to where I didn't have a job and you fired me, I promise you, Monday morning I'd be looking for a job. Can I say this to you? If you fired me today, I hope you don't, but if you do, I'll be looking for a job this afternoon. And can I say this? I will not make an assumption I can go get a job like I've got here. Because I don't believe there's a better job in the country than this job right here. So you know what I'll be doing? Adam, I'll be coming to your store this afternoon seeing if you'll give me a job. Now, Adam, I don't expect you to pay me at your place like what this church pays me. But I'll be at your place. And Matt, I'll probably see if I can moonlight with you on the side. Because I know Adam's not going to pay me what I make here. So I'm going to have to see if you'll give me a job too. Not knocking Adam. Did y'all get my point? Where is it we got it in our heads that once we've done something, we can't ever step down and do anything else? Where is it if we've got it because we got an education, we got to start at the top? Can I say this? When you come to Hardin, you may not start at the top. If I'm being truthful, you may never not ever get to the top at Hardin. But you know what your attitude ought to be? I'm not going to that church to sit in a chair. I'm going to that church to take my place as the body of Christ so that when Hardin Baptist Church is set in the community, I know I'm a part of that body. And I'm helping it be who it's supposed to be or she's supposed to be. Amen? Which means I'm going to find a job. Don't you listen to me. We got some folks here who can help you find a job in this church, a place of ministry, a place where you can roll up your sleeves and roll up your britches. And I want you to hear this. He's sitting here in this service. But the main person who's responsible in this church for helping you find a place is Trad York, our associate pastor, community connections leader. Raise your hand over there, Trad. See that hand going up? If I'm here and I wanted a place of responsibility, but I don't know where I fit in, I'd be calling him. 437-4868. Dial zero, get Casey, and say, Casey, I need Trad York to call me. That's what I'd do. Now, can I be honest, Dave Winder? If I lost my job and I went to get a job from Adam and Adam didn't call me back Monday morning, I'd go see Adam Monday afternoon. Amen? If he didn't call me Monday, I'd be there Tuesday when he opened up. And pretty soon Adam's going to think, wow, this guy's pretty persistent. I think I'm going to give him an opportunity. And he might let me bus tables. But who knows? I might make it all the way to the filet mignon cooker one day. You get my picture? You get what we're saying? There is no excuse for a person to sit in these chairs for as long as you've been attending and not be in ministry at this church. Now, if you know you love preschoolers and you want to work in preschool, or you know you love children, you want to work in child ministry, if you know you want to work with youth, or you know you want to work with college, or you know you want to be a part of this band or a part of this choir, just bypass Trad and go to Abby, Shelley, Corey, Chris, or Matt. Amen? Don't call me. I don't have a clue. But these guys do. I'm expecting by Wednesday, Trad to come to me and say, Brother Ricky, you're going to have to quit preaching that because I've got so many people I've got to get in ministry. I can't do it. If you're sitting here and you're unemployed, will you give him a call? Will you call Shelley? Will you call Abby? Will you call Matt? If you can play a musical instrument or you can sing in the choir, you find your place of ministry. I believe this with all my heart. You will never be fully who God intends you to be until you find your place in the body of Christ. This ministry junk on your own by yourself is not biblical. I would hate to think of some of the heretical doctrines I would be teaching if it was not for fellow teachers surrounding me that every time I teach the Word of God, I'm connected with them and we have some good in-depth conversations. Does that make sense? Guys, for you to grow the way God wants you to grow, you've got to find your place of service. And we're here to help you find that in 2008. Because when we get on that plane next Sunday morning to head to Rome, I want to make sure all of us are on the same page. Now, pastor equips the saints. Saints do the work of ministry. Ministry then does what? It edifies the body. Boy, we got it wrong. We got a church mentality today that says if you don't have a great church, you got to have a great pastor. That's not true. You don't have to have a great pastor to have a great church. You know what you got to have a great church? You got to have a great ministry. But you'll not have great ministry unless the pastor teachers equipping saints, unless the saints are doing the work of ministry. Amen? Did you hear that? But you know what we're adopting in the church? We're adopting a pastor mentality. It's like a ball coach. I've seen some really, really bad teams and then fire the coach and the coach wasn't a problem. The problem was they had some really, really bad players. Man, how'd you like to be one of these poor high school coaches? No matter how good a coach you are, you can just coach what you got. Amen? Now I want to say this. You ought to expect a lot out of me as a pastor teacher because God's brought the cream of the crop to this church and that's you. You've been personally recruited by the Holy Spirit of God, have you not, to attend Hardin Baptist Church. And let me say this. If you have not been recruited by Him to come to this church, you will not make it. Because we have scholarship players here. You know what I mean? You're not a walk-on for the Lord. You're not somebody that didn't cut it. You're somebody that the Holy Spirit of God said, I want you on our team. Because you were chosen before the foundation of the world by God. And God's Holy Spirit come into your life and said, I'm going to give you a new life and it's going to be paid for. It's not going to cost you anything. Is that not salvation? But I'm saving you not to see it. I'm saving you to take your place with other saints. So that working together, you will not be a selfish person, but you'll be a selfless person who puts the body ahead of yourself. And together, as the body of Christ moves in the community, guess who gets the honor and glory? God does. And guys, that's what we want because it's ministry that edifies the body. Every time this church is not being built up, it's when our ministries fail. Don Young told me and two other guys that preaching can get people to church, but preaching can't keep people in church. You may start out coming to this church because of the preaching or the music, but you won't make it unless you find a connection point. Because you got to be a part of something. And you got to know that the contribution I'm making is making that body a better body. Amen. Why? Because I've been ordained by God to be there. Now, do you really believe you've been ordained by God to be here? Then your ministry, your work in this church should edify us in our entirety. This word edify or build up actually is a construction word. It's a word that literally means to build a house, and the Greek dictionary says, or to build things pertaining to a house. So I want you to think about this just for a moment. Your house didn't just come into existence, did it? If your house was built like my house, you probably didn't want to be there when you called the lumber yard and they brought all that material, because when they brought my material, they just raised this bed on a truck, and the guy just drove out from under, and all of my expensive lumber just went, but it was all banded together. It made it. Then my carpenters came out there and they cut the bands off the material and they started taking the individual boards and they began to cut them and they began to nail them together. And all of a sudden, each one of those boards got connected to another board that was connected to another board that was connected to another board. And all of a sudden, those boards together became floors and they became walls and they became ceilings and they became joists and they became a roof. And in its entirety, I have a home. Boy, I'd have a sad home if all the pieces of lumber didn't get connected together and do their part. Guys, Hardin's been a great church because the core of this church ministers. But as we start to run a lot of people, that core has got to get bigger, and that's got to be you. You got to find your place where you get connected. Now, this word also means to build a fire. I've told you this before, but I want to close with this thought because I think it's one of the most glorious thoughts I've ever had. Whenever I think of building a fire, I always think of this picture. I think of my granddaddy Bogard kneeling down in front of an old wood stove. You've heard me tell my granddad had a home, one heat source, a wood stove in the living room. He did all the other rooms, which means you had to get it really, really hot in that room. You know what I mean? And my granddaddy was a master fire builder. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen my granddaddy open that door, look into that fire early in the morning, and all of those pieces of wood that he put in the night before have now burned down, and him reach for his poker and poke all those coals together. And those coals that were just about to go out that looked kind of black, when he brought them together, they would, and all of a sudden there'd be a flame. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Once those burned out coals all come back together, they'd poof back to life and they would reignite. And you know what my granddaddy would do? He'd reach for two sticks of seasoned wood and he'd put them on the fire first. And then you know what he'd do? He'd reach for a green stick, a piece of wood that was young, still green, and he'd put it on top of those to others, because when granddaddy put those seasoned sticks, he knew they was going to ignite quick, and when they would get really hot, it would burn that chryso out of those green sticks and the juice. And then they, when got real hot, they'd start burning too. Wow. You know what I noticed by watching Granddad do that? Fire burns with more intensity where the two pieces of wood or the three pieces of wood touch each other. Is that not right? Is it not right, Tommy? Is it not right, Gene? And after a while, if you take a fire and let two sticks of wood burn, what will they do? They'll burn completely through at their connection point. Completely through. If you leave those pieces of wood by themselves, not connected to another piece of wood, what will eventually happen? It'll burn out. And you'll have a little piece of the wood left. Oh, Scott, it looks pretty. I mean, it's burned. It's got black marks all over. It's charred. I never saw my granddad Borger take that piece of wood out and go, oh, wow, that's just such a beautiful piece of wood. It did its job so good. I'm going to put it up here on the mantle. And we're going to put a plaque under it and honor that piece of wood for burning 3 hours with the other pieces of wood. Never saw my granddad do that. And that's what we want people to do to us. Some of you want to talk about what you did 20 years ago. You want to tell me how you used to serve. What I want to know is, why don't you want to serve like you used to want to serve? I know, you got burned, right? How many of you have been burned in ministry? Can I just see a show of hands? Let's be honest, raise your hand. Isn't that what's supposed to happen? Aren't you supposed to get burned? Aren't you supposed to come to that point where you completely die to what you want, the way you want it, so that you can combine with someone else, and at that point of connection, you burn in your entirety to where there's absolutely nothing left. And then what we need is somebody to come along, the Holy Spirit of God, take a pastor or a preacher and the Word of God and the divine poker of God's Word and poke you back in the fire. And tell you before you get into ministry, you're going to get burned again. Amen? Except this time we're going into it saying, when my life is over. See, the part I love best was when Granddad Bogart would open that bottom door and pull out that ash pan. Couldn't even tell it was wood. Guys, I mean this. Don't you ever tell me to slow down doing what I'm doing, because I have decided when my life's over, I don't want anybody to open up the door of the top part on top of the grate and find a little piece of me that's charred so you can put me on a plaque somewhere for other generations to see. No, I want to come out the bottom of the old ash pan. I don't want there to be anything left. Because I don't want you to ever talk about Ricky Cunningham. I want you to talk about Ricky Cunningham's God. Amen. Now guys, listen. You're here for a purpose. Let's get on the same page. You come back tonight because I'm going to finish this sermon tonight. I promise you, next Sunday morning, we're going to board that airplane to Rome. Amen. And we're going to be in Rome for a while. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? We're out of time. But here's what I believe. I believe there's somebody, or 4 or 5, maybe 20, maybe 150 people who are sitting here that know they're unemployed at Hardin Baptist Church. Been coming for a long time and you're unemployed. I want you to get up right now and come down here to these steps and make a commitment to God. God, I want to find my place of employment in this church. Right now, come on. Come right down here to these steps. No one's looking. We're going to bow our head and close our eyes. You come right here right now. I know there's some families sitting here right now that if you'd be totally honest, your interest rate of Hardin, except for what it does for you on Sunday morning, isn't real high. It's not as high as it ought to be. You've been coming to church, thinking about what church does for you, and you come to church for what you can get. And you do not and are not taking your place as part of a body. You're just attending a worship service. Who needs to come? Come on, right now. Right now. Who'll be that person who'll say, I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to call the associate pastor of this church this week. I'm going to call the preschool minister. I'm going to call the children's minister. I'm going to call the youth pastor. I'm going to call the college pastor. I'm going to call Brother Matt and let him know, yes, I've been gifted by God to play a musical instrument. I've been gifted by God with a voice. I'm not sure if that's where God wants me to minister, but I want to make myself available. Hey, guys. Promise you, if you look into the faces of the people in this church who truly have joy, they're the ones that have learned to serve. They've learned to serve. And you know what I've also discovered about those kind of people? You won't hear them ever talk very bad about the church because they don't have time. Because, you know, they're not thinking about what they're getting. They're thinking about the body and the body's ministry, and they're thinking about people that are hurting. And we don't always have time to just look at it from my viewpoint. Get on the same page with us here. College students, go to Chris Lawrence, our college pastor, and say, man, how do I serve through the church while I'm on the campus of Murray State? Boy, to prepare you for when you leave here, whether God calls you into vocational ministry or he calls you to be a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse or a mom or a dad or a mechanic, to when you go back home to serve in the body. Anyone else? Father, thank you for those that come this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. We certainly hope that you've enjoyed our regular Sunday morning worship service from Hardin Baptist Church on this Sunday morning, January the 20th, 2008. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning, and we hope that you'll join us each and every Sunday morning, either by the radio here on 90.5 FM WVHM, or join us live in the sanctuary of Hardin Baptist Church. Now, every Sunday morning, we have three opportunities for you to come and worship with us here at Hardin Baptist. On Sunday mornings, we have a service that begins at 8 a.m., a service that begins at 9:15 a.m., and then our 10:30 worship service. At each of those services, Brother Matt Sullivan and our Hardin Baptist Church worship team, praise choir, and band join together and lead the congregation in a mix of contemporary and traditional praise and worship and hymns. And it's just a wonderful time as we gather together and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then, of course, Brother Ricky brings us a powerful message each and every Sunday morning at Hardin Baptist Church. We do hope that you enjoyed our message this morning. If you need more information on our church family, feel free to give us a call at any time. 270-437-4868. That's 270-437-4868. Thanks again for joining us this morning. Check us out online to find out more about Hardin Baptist Church at www.hardinbaptist.org.